Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you use promo code DNVR, new customers can make any $5 bet on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets if you win. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And welcome in to a special Monday edition. I am Susie Hunter.
And Christian Saez on the Saez and Susie show.
Yes.
With the Rockies edition, we're having fun.
Yes, yes. That is the name of these shows when Christian is
coined
filling
it,
in.
Yep.
Patrick is on vacation. As you might know, it's the first time he's ever taken vacation at DNVR. So I'm very happy that he's taking that
time.
Yeah,
really. It's very needed. Patrick getting ready for baseball season. It's a grind, you know, and you guys are getting ready for the long haul coming up in 2 months.
It is just so funny how quiet the offseason is, especially covering the Rockies, because, you know, it's not like we always have a ton to talk about for the Rockies. But in season, it's a whirlwind.
Yeah.
It is a whirlwind, and I'm, like, gearing myself up mentally.
I think people forget it, too, because baseball can be such a casual sport. You know, if you're just a fan, you get to go watch, have a beer every once in a while, get to enjoy some sun. But when you're covering the team, I mean, you're there covering the team, whether it be at home, on road trips, whatever it is, every single day.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Before we get into actual Rockies news, can we take a moment to talk about Christian's fit right now?
I had to bring this out just for this moment for the Rockies. I wore this last year to opening day, have not worn it since.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to bring it out today.
It's incredible. I was saying, I'm throwing a fit over this fit.
Yeah, it's my courtside fit that I was bringing up. It's my courtside fit today on the Rockies show. I love it.
Insane. It's good stuff. We got to talk about a little piece of Rockies news, kind of.
Yeah.
Chad Kuhl.
Something.
Was a Rocky. Now is definitely not going to come back as a Rocky. Signed
no.
a minor league deal with the Washington Nationals.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Kuhl's one of those interesting people. You know, you enjoyed him, his personality.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the season that he was hoping for with the Rockies. His ERA was just above 5. Over, I think it was 130-something innings pitched.
5.27 ERA over 137 innings.
Yeah. So, you know, he was struggling to kind of get back into this. But, you know, for a lot of times for pitchers, sometimes all it takes is just them switching it up a little bit, getting with another team, getting with some other coaches, some other players, a different program, and just trying to get themselves back up on their feet. You know, we obviously hope that he has the best and, you know, hope he can get kind of back on track. And we enjoyed having him here with the Rockies.
I know. Yeah. I feel like, this new move with the Nats would be a great opportunity for him to get back on track. Cause he was so good. He was so good for, you know, that first part of the season.
Yeah.
And then he pitched that complete game. And I feel like he was never the same since.
Yeah.
And he was injured for, I think, all of August. He had a hip strain, but you know, it was sad to see the Chad Kuhl that we loved so much and then not see that at the end of the season. It was pretty disappointing, and I know he was super frustrated about it.
And coming back from injury is always challenging, you know, I mean, and especially for pitchers, you're rehabbing, you don't know how you're going to be when you get out there back on the mound. And so for him, it just looked like he wasn't able to kind of reset the way that he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, this might be an opportunity for him to fully reset now with the Nationals. And there's not as much pressure. You're signing a minor league deal. You're not going to be just thrown right into it right out of the gates. So give him an opportunity to kind of rehab, get back into where he needs to be, and then, you know, see where he can go from there.
Yeah, minor league deal. He is invited to big league spring training. So at least he gets to practice with his peers.
Yeah, and he's got the stuff. You know, I mean,
that's
the thing is, you know, when you know that as a pitcher, you have that opportunity to be able to say, you know, I'm confident in my stuff. I just got to be able to figure out what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to take that next step, move over to the Nationals, get some new work with new players, new coaches, that might be what he needs.
Yeah, I think it's a great chance for him. And also, nothing really matters for the Nats.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that they're going to be one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
They were last season. They got rid of everyone.
Yeah, when they lost Bryce Harper, they lost, you know, I mean, every chance they had at being successful. And
I mean, they had, like, some kind of chance with Juan Soto still around.
Yes, yes. And then you got rid of Juan Soto, and now the Padres are a whole different team in general. And so, yeah, the Nationals aren't going to be one of those teams we're talking about too much this season. They're just going to be, you know, a team that you got to kind of play through a couple times throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
First game of the year, I believe. First homestead of the year, correct?
So they will be the Nationals will be in Colorado for our home opener.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get to see them. And maybe that'll be an opportunity for the Rockies too to play a team that's not going to completely roll them in the home opener.
I hope the Rockies win the home opener.
Yeah.
My God.
And that's going to be one of your, you know, at least most exciting games. I can say as a, you know, growing up in Seattle, going to a lot of Mariners games, home mm-hmm. openers, like when you knew your team is going to suck, the home opener is like the most excited you really get to be, because you know the rest of the season is just going to be casual baseball viewing. But that home opener, like, it doesn't matter what happens. You want to win. Mm-hmm. Like, you were there. It's sold out usually. You get the red carpet out there. It's a good time.
What is better, Mariners opening day or Rockies opening day? Which have you had more fun at?
Rockies opening day was a blast. I feel like the Rockies fan experience is so much better. And I think this is a blessing and a curse for Rockies fans, because mm-hmm. I think the Rockies spend so much time and money investing in the fan experience and not as much time on the player experience mm-hmm. that we're actually getting to see in the product on the field. The Mariners, I mean, you know, every opening day is fun. You get to experience, you know, a big show for baseball, and they mm-hmm. get to kind of put on a show. But the Rockies, just the atmosphere that you get at Coors Field, the weather hopefully is starting to look a little bit nicer as you're getting close to opening day. That has been a top opening day for me. I've only seen three, and that one's top of my list.
Ooh, that's good stuff. I have to point out this comment from Andrew, because he's right. You said once they lost Bryce Harper, the Nats were done. They weren't, because they won a World
True.
Series literally right after they traded Bryce Harper.
And you're right. It was more after Juan Soto left the team that they started to kind of reset, restart, you know, say, okay, are we going to start rebuilding now? And I just remember when they lost Bryce Harper, the first thing that comes to my mind was when Bryce Harper went to the Phillies and he was doing mm-hmm. his press conference, and, you know, his first comment was, we're going to bring a World Series back to Washington,
I believe
is what he said.
I choose to not remember that comment ever happened, because I know he didn't mean it.
Yeah. No, and it happens.
He has done such a great job pandering to the city of Philadelphia ever since.
Yes.
But also, like, backing it up with being an incredible baseball player.
Did you ever, I mean, you came from the TV side of things. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a situation where you worked for one station for a long time, got used to saying your tag out, and then went to a new station and, like, had a moment of almost saying that former station's tagline?
It's a very common thing in TV for you to, like, accidentally say your old call sign or your old sign out.
Yeah, or like radio. You know, I've heard a lot of guys say, or, mm-hmm. you know, if there's specific reads that you do after a three-pointer if you're doing play-by-play. Like, I'm sure that's what happened to Bryce Harper, but that is a funny moment of him getting traded.
We got to circle back to Chad Kuhl, because I do want to show his goodbye post on Instagram. Because he said some great stuff, and so this is how it starts. Although our time was short, my family and I loved the experiences, the adventures, and most of all, the people. This season in altitude was one we will never forget. To everyone in the Rockies organization, I say thank you for welcoming me and being there through the failures and successes of this year. P.S. Coors Field might still be a bit of a mystery, and Todd Helton should be a Hall of Famer. Yes.
Yeah.
Chad Kuhl.
That's a great post.
Perfect sign off.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And, you know, I liked, if you scroll through some of his pictures on mm-hmm. Instagram, he's got, you know, him and his family, and also one of him fishing, big fan of fishing. So that he soaked up the Colorado experience.
It's a rite of passage. You have to, if you play baseball in Colorado, you have to have a picture holding a fish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, him and Charlie Blackman and a couple other guys, like, I'm sure they had some phenomenal fishing trips here in Colorado. There is some good fishing in Colorado. He really seemed like he soaked up the experience. Now he gets to go over to Washington, D.C. and see what he can make of himself there.
Yeah, and also that just seems like such a better move for his family, because his wife, of course, recently announced that she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So mm-hmm. I'm sure being close to home when you're going through something like that, it just makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And just being supportive overall, being able to have a community that's there for you, supporting you. You know, I mean, he obviously has his Rockies community that will still be there supporting him through mm-hmm. that. But now he's going to be able to add to that community and just bring in as much support as possible. And, you know, we obviously hope that they're doing okay as they move forward.
Yeah, I do hope that he is with the big league club for the home opener. I think that'd be fun to see him back very soon.
That would be. Yeah, that would be cool. A bit of a return to Coors Field for him. As he said, Coors Field is still a mystery, so maybe he can explore that a little further on opening day.
I love it. Speaking of opening day is exactly 2 months away.
Yeah, it's coming up quick.
It is very soon.
Yeah, I know. Soak it up.
Can't wait. I cannot wait. Are you going out to spring training at all?
I am not. I would love to. I was telling Marissa this actually the other day. Like I am getting so kind of just claustrophobic almost just being in Denver. I'm like so ready to get out, get some warm weather. And I know the weather's been looking up here in Denver too, but being in Arizona and being able to get out, check out some spring training just seems like an absolute blessing right now. So I'd love to, but probably not going to happen this year.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
You guys can soak it up for me.
Yes. I don't know when we're going yet, but at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it'll all come around.
Yeah, it will come around. Some Rockies families are already down in Scottsdale. Some like live there in the off season. But I saw a TikTok from Rymack's wife. Austin Gomber's wife was in it. And so was Josh Fuentes. Just like chilling in the background.
Just having a good time.
It's like Josh Fuentes and the girlies. Let's go.
I know. I still haven't seen this TikTok. I'll have to check it out because I'm not up to date with current TikTok trends. I tried it out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was gonna waste my life away on TikTok.
So we were talking about this before the show. TikTok is dangerous because they log on, the algorithm knows you so well, you scroll through one video, all of a sudden it's 3 hours later and you're like, what happened to me?
No, I mean, that I did that like two or three times and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't
afford to lose that much time.
I was going through rabbit holes of like, you know, DIY anything, DIY kitchens, and I was just like, I can't do this. I'm going to waste my life.
I can't. Yeah. All right. We're going to get to some baseball headlines in just a second, but first, we have to tell you how great it is to be a diehard here at DNVR. So listen up. First of all, the bar, an incredible bar, maybe the best bar in the world, here at the corner of Colfax and York. If you are a diehard, you are getting 15% off of your bar tab every single time. I've never seen any content company have a deal like that.
Yeah.
We are one of a kind. And if you're missing out on that, I don't know what to tell you. But you are also getting 20% off of everything at dnvrlocker.com. You are getting 20% off of Broncos tailgates, our Nuggets party buses, and those are always such an incredible time. That annual membership will get you a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com, not just once, every single year. And you're getting extra raffle tickets at watch parties to win free gear and some really great prizes. And even better, all access to our diehards only Discord. And that is where the real fun happens. So yeah, if you're not a member, head to the dnvr.com. Make it happen. We would love to have you. And listen, okay, this is a big week in sports. Not for baseball necessarily. This is the last week where like baseball isn't the most important thing.
Yeah.
But until then, are you ready for the biggest Sunday in sports? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all of the Super Bowl action you need. So new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. So check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to see. So that is, oh my God, I have to do time zones now. 4 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Nice.
That's a good happy hour. I think that's a better happy hour than the East Coast happy hour.
Yeah, anything timing-wise on the East Coast is tough.
I can't believe you guys made me do math. That was terrible. We're back. So you're going to head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. to see what prop bet will be boosted. And listen, nothing is more fun than betting on all the Super Bowl action. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code DNVR. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. We got some other light baseball news to talk about. We've been talking so much about the comments that Dick Monfort, the Rockies owner, made last weekend. Patrick wrote a great story about it up on the dnvr.com. And these quotes, the things that he said are being talked about by other markets, by other owners. We talked on Friday about how the main newspaper in San Diego, I think the Union Tribune,
sounds right,
had so much to say. They wrote a whole column about what Dick Monfort had to say, specifically what he commented on about the Padres spending. Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned, you know, other owners like the Mets. Steve Cohen has some things to say. There was an article up on ESPN. On ESPN Plus, by the way. I did not even realize ESPN had a paywall now.
Yeah, yeah, some of their articles, yeah.
I thought ESPN Plus was just like some TV coverage. I did not realize. I haven't hit the paywall yet. I just hit it for the first time today.
Oh, it's a bad day for Susie.
It's a bad day
for Susie. She hit the paywall.
I hate hitting the paywall. I hate hitting any wall. But Steve Cohen is not happy about other owners kind of whining about his spending. He said, quote, "They are putting it on me. Maybe they need to look more at themselves." Whew.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen. He also goes, "I'm not responsible how other teams run their clubs." So he's not happy about other owners being upset with his excessive spending.
Here's my thing with this. Mm-hmm. If you're putting the money in, whether it works or not, you're obviously invested. Mm-hmm. Literally, you're invested in the success of your team. And I think if I'm a Mets fan, yeah, and I am going through this offseason watching Steve Cohen, you know, spend all this money, mm-hmm, I'm feeling so much better about this situation right now, where the Mets are sitting with the highest payroll in all of baseball, than I am if I'm a Rockies fan saying, hey, you know, maybe we could get lucky and you know, pull together a winning season this year, but we probably aren't given the spending that our owner has done. So, yeah, you know, let's say the Mets crash and burn. Well, at least your owner's still invested in trying to make this right. He's trying to bring your team to success. So I feel good about that. I feel like he's doing the right thing. And as a fan, you just love to see an owner who's willing to put himself out there. The Broncos are getting a little bit of that too, mm-hmm, where you've got an owner who's at least taking some risks, putting himself out there saying, hey, we're going to get this done one way or another. I'm at least going to give us the best possible chance. And so I think their fan base has nothing but, you know, that promise,
yeah,
that they get to be excited about this year.
I mean, also, not every team can do what the Mets are doing, because Steve Cohen kind of has unlimited funds right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if he takes those risks, the team's not going to go out of business. You know, he's not going to run out of money. He's not going to run out of payroll. But other teams can't necessarily do that. If they make a bunch of big investments and they don't pan out, there goes the next, you know, decade of your team.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually seeing him compared. I was reading an article from ESPN, and they were talking about the comparisons between him and George Steinbrenner, yeah, with the Yankees. And
the OG, big spender.
Exactly. And he actually kind of dismissed those comparisons, saying, you know, hey, George is, he's in a league of his own. But I do think it's that similar mindset of like, hey, I'm gonna just pour myself into this, mm-hmm, and invest in this team's success and see what happens from that. And at that point, you, as an owner, you've done your job. You've done everything that you can to get your team set up in a position to win. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's out of your hands. You know, you hope that your coaches and your players can have a successful season from that point on. But, you know, he had a quote on that ESPN article saying, quote, I came in saying I'm all in and I keep my word. We're in New York and I'm competitive. If you're going to own a team, I came in with a commitment that I was going to put a good product out on the field. So, for me, as a fan, that's all I'm looking for. Yeah. Put a good product out on the field. I'm happy with that. No matter what happens with the season, you can at least say going into it, hey, you know what? We did our best moving into it.
Yeah. I want to talk about another team that has made a lot of big moves recently, the Padres, because the Padres had their fan fest over the weekend. And it looked a lot different than some Padres fan fests from years past. It was packed there.
Yeah.
They had such a turnout for their fan fest weekend. Do we have that tweet? Yeah. Okay. So here is... This is the 2015 Fan Fest. It looks a little sparse out there. And then
lots of green.
Yeah, lots of green. And then this is the Fan Fest over the weekend. Significantly more people. They must be redoing the grass because they've got a lot of people in that outfield.
Yeah, that
a
looks
lot
like
a lot of people.
That looks like the old Oakland A's Coliseum when the Raiders used to play there, and it was like dirt in the outfield. And yeah.
Chaos. Yeah. So yeah, here's my question. Are Padres fans bandwagoners, or is this a franchise being rewarded for making those big moves and spending money and going for it?
No, I 100% think this is a franchise that's being rewarded for, mm-hmm, making investments in the success of their team. I want to look at, like, you know, kind of just the you know, the areas in California where you have teams. You've got teams in San Francisco, LA, and I know LA and San Diego are kind of close, but there is a huge divide between fans of the Dodgers, the Angels, and then the Padres. And the Padres, they do. San Diego is such a big and condensed city. They've got this own market that they just kind of run with. And so I think a lot of these fans are just have kind of been waiting in the shadows for their team to be good. And I don't think that means they're bandwagon fans. I just think, you know, they're not going to be fans that are, it's similar to the Rockies, actually, in my opinion. You know, there are a lot of Rockies fans, I think, in Denver that are just, they're still going to go to games. They're still going to cheer for the Rockies, but they're just waiting for an opportunity for the Rockies to get good. Mm-hmm. And they're going to show out in October. And so I think that's what you're seeing in San Diego, and you're seeing that investment paying off for the fans.
Yeah, no, it looks like those fans are super happy. Yeah, so many people were at FanFest.
It's crazy.
It looked lit.
I went to the FanFest for the Giants the year after they won. So this was 2011 when they won the 2010 World Series. I went to the 2011 FanFest. Mm-hmm. And it was like that, where you felt like you were in like a championship parade. You know, I mean, it was an insane experience. They shut down parts of the streets, you know, all around it. It was just this incredible experience. So the Padres, although they're not coming off a, they're not coming off a World Series victory, they have the potential to be World Series champions in the next few years if they can continue on the road that they're on.
Yeah, I mean, right now it looks like at least they could be in the running to finally win the NL West.
Yeah, which is a absolute mountain to climb for any team. Mm-hmm. That NL West is going to be that's going to be a tough division.
I really do wonder what the Dodgers are up to, because they've lost a lot of big guys.
Hey, they have, but they're still the Dodgers.
And they're still the Dodgers,
a very, very competitive team. But the Padres are gonna, you know, they're gonna give them a run for it. I think the Giants just haven't done enough in the offseason to really be up there. And then the Rockies are obviously, you know, kind of in that same conversation. But the Padres and the Dodgers are going to be high, high teams.
Yeah. Last season, the Dodgers had 111 wins. And the season before that was the 107 win Giants team.
Correct. Yeah.
And then
such a random season for the Giants.
Such a random season. But like, I feel like they kind of gaslit Jock Peterson, because he ended up signing and he was like, okay, I signed to be on a 107 win team. Yeah. And like, that's not what I got this year.
No. And I actually wanted to make a comparison between the Giants of that year and the Rockies right now. The Giants of that year had one of the most middle to low range, salary ranges that you would see in all of Major League Baseball. They did not have a huge spending market. They were not like the Dodgers or the Yankees, who are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on these huge name guys. They had a couple guys on those teams that really were bringing in decent contracts. But for the most part, the Giants were a pretty cheap team and were able to put together a very consistent and competitive season that year. That's what the Rockies are hoping for this year. You're hoping to be able to have some guys that are healthy and consistent, that are having really all-star seasons. And we saw that with the Giants, even in some of their World Series years, where they were kind of a bunch of no-names in some of those World Series seasons. And so that gives me hope for this year. If you're a Rockies fan, you know, I try to make some of those comparisons looking at the Giants and how they were able to do it. The Oakland A's, in some of their playoff appearances that they've had, have been with very cheap teams.
Yeah.
The Rockies, that is what you're hoping for this year if you're a Rockies fan, is that they can kind of keep this cheap payroll going and just have some guys have their big season this year.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some not so cheap guys on the Rockies.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm. And he's got to be healthy. I mean, that is the number one thing.
I really want him to be healthy, because last season could have been so fun.
Yeah.
Because there was such a buzz going into it, because we had this great name. Because he's a star, too. Mm-hmm. Such a star. Let's get into a different star. Shohei Ohtani. There is a snow sculpture of Shohei Ohtani. This is something that they do in Japan, I think, every year. They do this big snow sculpture extravaganza. And this is Shohei Ohtani's sculpture, and I think it looks like him, but I think it also kind of looks like this robot from memes from years ago. Am I wrong?
No, you're it's the eyes. Like it's just the little
eyes.
The little kind of robot eyes. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And I think the robot's also Japanese too, so I don't know if that's just I don't know. It's just like so funny to me.
That I know, and I did see that posted too. You sent me that the picture of that snow sculpture, and It's impressive. I mean, you know that it's Shohei Ohtani, but yeah, that it's. I don't know how I'd feel about that if I was him.
It's hard. You know, it's a little weird. It's hard to capture the essence.
Yeah, in snow.
In snow. But this is also not the first time they've done a snow sculpture. There was one from like 2013, too, when he was just becoming a big star in Japan.
Yeah. I'm also curious. I mean, obviously, they've got him with the helmet on.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm wondering if they, you know, why they decided to go with him with a helmet. Was that just easier to sculpt in snow, or should, you know, could they have just gone with just a normal hat? I mean, he's a pitcher,
yeah,
as well, just in the same as he is a hitter. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting, but it also reminded me too a little bit of Ichiro Suzuki, who you know, retired years ago, but when he was playing with the Mariners, I mean, I remember as a Mariners fan at the time being in Seattle, like seeing some of that kind of rollover between the just heavy fandom from Japan and into the United States. I mean, Ichiro, I would see like some little documentaries or commercials that were shot of Ichiro going back to Japan. And I mean, he was on another level of stardom in Japan. So yeah, I mean, Japan goes all out for their Major League Baseball players. They're superstars.
They really do. And you see that with fans. There were so many fans from the Asian community in LA who just like go all out for Shohei days.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, Japan has their own baseball leagues. You know, I mean, they have professional baseball, in Japan that is at a high level, and it's very, you know, people go to these games. It's exciting to watch. And so for them to be that excited about watching Shohei Ohtani in the United States playing, I think that's really cool to kind of see that crossover.
Yeah. Japan might love baseball more than America does.
It's argued. I also think it's a more exciting atmosphere to watch baseball.
Like, it seems so exciting. That is like top of my bucket list. Yeah. I would love to go to Japan and just experience the baseball out there.
And it's why I am so excited for the World Baseball Classic, because you get a taste of that here in the U.S. And I've likened it to watching like the World Cup, obviously not on the same level, but like soccer in general, you know, being able to go to a game and there's chanting, there's drums, horns, you know, everyone's just screaming, standing the entire game. You don't see that at a, you know, random July baseball game for the Rockies. Like that, you just don't get that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a super cool experience that we just don't have here in the United States. So to kind of see that crossover is really unique.
Speaking of the World Baseball Classic, I just heard this on the way here, but Shohei Ohtani will apparently make one Cactus League start before heading to his teammates to represent Japan in the World Baseball Classic.
Nice. So he gets a little taste.
He'll make a spring training appearance. He'll make one start, but then it is off to Team Japan.
Moving on. Yep.
Yes.
And Team Japan is always interesting too, because they have their own professional league that is a high level league. You know, you get a lot of players that are very, very good baseball players that I have no, like I've never heard of them, you know? And so that's what's always interesting about Team Japan when they come into the World Baseball Classic, you know, like a lot of times with like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Cuba, like, you know, those guys, a lot of times they play in the United States for Major League Baseball. There is no high level, you know, Hispanic baseball league that we hear a lot of, but Team Japan, Team China, a lot of times you see some of these guys that you've never really heard of, but they're very, very good baseball players.
Yes.
So Team Japan is not a team to be slept on.
No one's sleeping on Team Japan, I promise.
Yeah.
Not me, at least.
I won't be either. Yeah, that is going to be fun to see them in, you know, Dominican, Puerto Rico. They're all going head-to-head.
Maybe I'll get tickets for the World Baseball Classic on Game Time. It is the hottest ticketing app / ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, shows, even the World Baseball Classic. If you've ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, like the 50-yard line, courtside with a courtside fit, maybe behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, it is all possible with the Game Time app. You'll find the biggest last-minute price drops on those seats you never thought you could buy. And like if you want to attend a Rockies game, you can save up to 60% if you wait closer to first pitch with Game Time. So the bottom line is, if you love DNVR, you're going to love Game Time. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description of this podcast. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events. And hit the link in our description to save. And you know how much we love Breck Brew.
Love it.
You know how much we love Breck Brew. We got to talk about the Avalanche Ale. Look at it right here on our set.
It's my all-time favorite.
Beautiful can. First of all, serving City Connect vibes, which I love.
Yeah.
And I'm making everything about the Rockies.
It's got the colors and everything.
Beautiful.
It's a good fit.
And listen, this is a classic American amber blend. It blends pale chocolate caramel malts in this well-rounded, flavorful beer. And those caramel malts lend whispers of toffee and sweetness with a touch of bittering hops to give this beer its clean finish.
Wow.
I know.
That was good.
Poetry. It is crafted for balance, and Avalanche is a versatile and satisfying anytime beer. But no time better than today, am I right? So what is different about Breck Brew compared to other beers? They are made with 100% renewable energy because we care about the environment here in Colorado. And they are made by a Colorado company, and it is the official brew of DNVR. So check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a beer near you. No matter where you are, you're going to find a Breck Brew. I know that. And listen, have you heard about Jai Five?
I have not.
You haven't heard? Oh, my God. Kale, Christian hasn't heard about Jive Hive.
You should inform me. I have.
Oh my God.
I'm all ears.
It's the hive to jive to.
Oh, wow.
Well said, Kale. Also, just like shout out to Kale being back on the show for today.
Yes. Welcome back, Kale. Super
glad
producer.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back.
I'm so happy to have you back. We got to talk about Jive Hive. Please, everyone, stop distracting me. This is very important that I tell you about Jive Hive. This is a revolutionary, life-changing dispensary that will make it so easy for you to explore the benefits of cannabis with privacy and security, all from the comfort of your home. So no fighting traffic, no lines, no dealing with the weather, absolutely no one in your business. Jive Hive is a virtual dispensary on wheels. So think like Uber Eats for weed. So visit jivehive.com for anything you can imagine, like convenience. The prices are probably better than the brick and mortar dispensaries because they're not paying for those brick and mortars. And you know how crazy real estate is in Colorado. You know. Mm. You know that.
I do.
You do.
All too well.
All too well. You are getting privacy and security. So if you have the kind of job, like maybe you're a doctor or a lawyer, you just don't want to see your coworkers out and about. Maybe you don't want them to know you went to the dispensary. That is absolutely not an issue with people coming to your house and just delivering it to you. You don't have to deal with the snow. You don't have to deal with the bad weather. Jive Hive is a place where you can shop for the industry's premium cannabis products at customer-friendly prices and have it delivered straight to your door, all with no delivery fee. Oh, that's incredible. Visit jivehive.com. That's JIVEHYVE.com and get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window, and they will be there to say hi. Do you get it?
I love it.
Do you get
it? It's too good.
Yes.
The buzz around the hive.
So they are now serving Monument, Falcon, Peyton, Fountain, Woodland Park, Security, Widefield, Aurora, and Greenwood Village. That's Jive Hive, JIVEHYVE.com. Okay. We have a very special segment. So when Patrick goes away, you know, he likes to help out, leave me some material to use for the show.
So nice.
He planned out this segment. So I didn't know what it was about. He just sometimes doesn't tell me. He leaves me to be surprised. This is a pretty good one. Kale, do we have it ready though?
Yep.
All right.
We love our old-timey baseball here.
We do.
Don't we?
I know you love old-timey baseball because it reminds you of your childhood.
Oh, ouch. Come on. They invented the baseball mitt at the point in which I was born. I mean, it was still new, but it had already been invented.
Oh, my
gosh.
When
I was born. When I worked with the Boulder Collegians, I tried to set up an old-timey game. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was a team of 9 guys who had the old wool uniforms, and they played with no mitts.
I've seen those before,
yes. It's pretty wild.
It is pretty.
I still have yet to go to one. I'm envious. You've been to
one? No, I've never been. I've seen that they exist.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry to mislead you.
Do you see this team here on the screen?
Yes.
What jumps out at you? Just give me like your initial reaction.
What are those letters on there? What are those letters on there?
WSP.
WSP.
Yes. We'll address that here in a moment.
Okay.
But what are you seeing?
Their hats are real interesting. I love the baseball props. Oh, it's Wyoming State. Prison? Oh, I see. It's a prison team?
So it is an old-timey photo, yes.
Sorry, I'm like just seeing the text. I never know what to expect when Patrick brings stuff to the program.
Well, one of the biggest things is it's an integrated team. They're both white and black ball.
Oh, you know what? See, it was a little hard to tell at the first glance, but now I see it.
There's also the mascot is sitting in the middle, a young boy. That wasn't just a short man. Nope. That's originally what mascots were. So unfortunately, they were children and people that were mocked, unfortunately. But those were the original mascots back in the day.
Okay, so...
not very politically correct, but...
So you're saying that this prison baseball team had a young boy as their mascot?
Yes.
Just sitting with them, chilling at all the games.
It was the warden's son. So this was, as you read, the Wyoming State Prison All-Stars. So they're... this is a real thing. We got the peanut gallery enjoying it over here. 1911 is when this team was formed in Rawlins, Wyoming. It's like 6 hours. You kind of have to go through the mountains to get to Rawlins. If the team won, if they played well, essentially these death row inmates were not killed.
So they're literally playing for their lives.
To a degree, yes. Yes.
So who did they play against? Other prisons?
Not other prisons. This was kind of a newfangled thing at the time, at least for Wyoming. Previously, the prison had made money, as did the warden, it was like a broom factory. They made brooms. So it's almost indentured servitude, right? And so they made money with that. Then the warden said, hey, some of these guys are athletic. Let's give them a baseball team. They seem to be in better moods. Spent a lot of money on gambling at the time. This was estimated. And this is all from a really great book called Death Row All-Stars, A Story of Baseball Corruption and Murder. They bet about $136,000 was bet on this team, which in today's money would be $4 million.
Who was betting on this team?
Folks in and around the prison.
The community?
Those watching. They played like a small town professional team in the area. Whooped them first two games, 11-1.
What was the name of that team?
I don't have their name. Wow. I don't know.
Okay.
They also played a junior high school because that makes sense.
What?
I don't know in what world a junior high school versus any adults would really make
that
sense.
That doesn't make sense, but like against prisoners, not just prisoners, but like people on death row.
Yes.
Who have done crimes bad enough to get you on death row.
Yes.
Let's have them hang out with this child and like play against these other children.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I have a problem with that, but I'm just telling you that this, you have it right. Your estimation is right as to what was going down.
I just can't wrap my mind around it.
Those are hard times, man. 1911, hard times. In Wyoming, too.
Wyoming is something else.
Wyoming in 1911 is like, I don't know, New York City in 1785. I think that's how it works. I have to punch it into, when was it, calculator? And then you type in the year, the location, and then it gives you another location and what year it was like. I imagine.
What year is it in Wyoming now?
Good question. At least 2000.
You think?
Because
Tracy Ringlesby does not look like he is from this millennium.
Look, have you seen Yellowstone? That Kevin Costner's character was based off of Tracy Ringlesby. Did you know that? No, it's not true.
I would believe it. He is kind of like, well, he's like really the person from Wyoming I've spent the most time with.
Kevin Costner or Tracy Ringlesby?
Tracy Ringlesby. Okay. Because I sat next to him like most of last season.
Do you want to know the 25-man roster who it was comprised of?
Please.
Okay.
Do you know what they were in for too?
That's the roster. We have one forger, three rapists, three killers, and five thieves.
And they had these people around children?
The warden's son, yes. And then junior high school.
Junior high school that they played against.
Yes, yes. This is a real thing. Okay, all right.
And so how many of these guys got off death row?
I don't think in the end any of them did. There was...
So it was false promises?
So, well, one of them, his date came and went. He was supposed to get hung. That was how you were killed back in those days. Mm-hmm. And he played really well. And people were like, no, you shouldn't do it. And they're like, okay, well, we've got another game going on later today. So... sure enough, he didn't get hung. And, you know, some of the prison, other inmates were not very happy about this. And so they were like, wait, they're getting unfair treatment. And it was a whole thing. But then eventually I think someone was like, hey, you know what? I'm not making my cut on this, so let's disband the baseball team. So it was disbanded pretty quickly, like after that one season. And after that, they go, all right, well, we've got no reason. Like, you're not helping us in any way. So now let's go ahead and get the noose ready and take care of it.
This is a very, this is so dark. Patrick, why are you telling me this?
It's baseball, so we have to talk about it, don't we?
And these are also, I mean, since it's Wyoming, these are local guys.
Exactly. Talking local baseball from 102 years ago. Wyoming. It's all related. So there's a great book, The Death Row All-Stars, A Story of Baseball Corruption and Murder. And it's interesting. I mean, wouldn't you want to...
Who is the author?
All right, so it's two authors, Howard Kazanian and Chris Enns. Now, Howard Kazanian is... he doesn't look like this anymore, but this is a photo of him in his heyday on the set of Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was a Hollywood producer. He produced two of the first three Star Wars films.
Wow.
Again, here, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What a scope on this guy's resume.
Yeah, he has a lot. He likes the Old West, so he has a lot of books that he's kind of co-authored.
He looks like he likes the Old West.
But, all right, trivia for you. You ready? Okay. Howard clearly has a fondness of baseball, fondness of movies. Mm-hmm. I am going to name you six films or TV series that he's been a part of. You tell me if that was a baseball-related program or film or not. So baseball or not.
Okay, all right.
Ready? First one.
I feel like I could do this.
Danger Rangers.
Because it sounds like it could be Wild West.
Texas Rangers.
I'm going to say that was a baseball program.
It was not.
Darn. That was a really tricky one.
I think that was a cartoon. Actually, the images, it made me think of like Rescue Rangers. Back in the day. Chip and Dale?
Yeah.
No? Monterey Jack?
I know about Chip and Dale. You know who does not know about Chip and Dale?
Who's that?
What's his face? Cody Bellinger. You remember the Chip and Dale story from? He only knows about Chip and Dale. He does not know what the Chip and Dales are.
Oh, that's true. I do remember that.
Anyway, I'll stop sidetracking because I want to hear more of these.
No, this is good. I'm not helping with the improv there on the Chip and Dales. I don't remember. I thought you were going to say Camille Nanjiani because he's in the Chip and Dale show.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, next film up from Howard Kazanian, The Guardian. Again, another baseball team name, Cleveland Guardians.
But not back then. Baseball, I'm going to say not baseball.
Okay, you're correct. Rattled. Is this maybe sort
of... Does it have a subtitle?
It does not. So, maybe it's a precursor to Trouble with the Curve, right? Like a pitcher's been rattled. I don't know.
I'm going to say not baseball.
Correct.
Okay, I'm doing well now.
Demolition Man.
Baseball.
Not a baseball film.
No, darn it.
The Rookie.
Baseball.
In this case, not baseball.
Misleading.
And then finally, South Dakota.
This one has to be baseball.
Because all of the other
ones were not baseball.
No, it's not baseball either.
Patrick,
so he's never did a baseball movie. He never actually did a baseball movie. But so many of his film titles... So many of his film titles were very baseball-esque, weren't they?
What just happened to me?
That's called a wild goose chase.
Allie, do you see what I have to deal with on this beat?
Danger Rangers, The Guardian Rattled, The Rookie? But no. There was a movie called The Rookie. I'm 99% sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. Yeah, it was about Jim Morris. But not this one. Not Howard's. Not Howie's.
What is this rookie about? Like a new sheriff coming to town?
Yes. Keep going. See, how much do you know about this movie?
I don't know anything else.
And what's his big issue in town once he gets there?
He's the new guy.
Ooh, it's implied because he's the
new
sheriff.
And there's a lot of tension.
Oh,
with
so
him
much
and the
tension.
Townspeople.
Yes, because the townspeople.
And someone dies.
Yes. And they suspect that the murderer is
the rookie.
The sheriff?
The sheriff. The rookie. The new sheriff. He's the rookie.
So the new sheriff is brought in to try to find the murderer, but he's the murderer?
Yes.
Okay, I want to see this now, actually. I don't want to read this book, but I do want to see this movie because the reviews are crazy. It's a real cliffhanger. You're never gonna understand the ending. It's a real plot twist.
I don't understand what's happening to me right now.
Would you read that book? Are you interested in that? That sounds
delightful.
Murderers Playing Baseball.
Yeah, I probably will look into this book.
It's baseball.
It's absolutely fascinating.
We might have to get Howard on the pod.
I will be reaching out.
Howard Kazanian and Chris Enns, co-authors of The Death Row All-Stars, A Story of Baseball, Corruption, and Murder.
And murder.
That is interesting. Wow. And on that note, Susie, back to you.
Yeah, here we go.
Wow.
I have one thing to say about that segment. We took it to a dark place.
That is an understatement.
We will be recording that as a sound that we need to use on the show.
Turned a corner and it just went into a dark cave. And you guys were like, oh, okay. I learned something, though. I had no idea that was a thing.
You always learn something whenever Patrick has something to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was very interesting. I'll put it at that.
I'm so sorry that someone apparently came in to watch the first part of the pod and came back and I was in a different outfit. That is what happens when we pre-record segments.
You can't be consistent?
I can't plan my outfits that far in advance. So I'm sorry for the confusion, but I'm back now in this outfit. You're going to be okay. You're going to live a long, happy life after this hardship. Yeah, Kale and Christian had not seen that segment before, and they were just like, what is happening?
That was, I don't even know what to say after that. It was something very Patrick to find. That
yes.
was very much a Patrick thing.
Like he would.
Find. Yes, he would know that. He's probably read the book. He's aware of the situation. Now we are all aware.
There's a child involved.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's a lot
so
of children involved.
Yeah.
There's the child who's the mascot and the children, the middle school baseball team. What sport is this? What podcast is this? The middle school baseball team that they were playing against.
I mean, is it even really baseball if you're playing for your life? Like, you know, I'm on death row, but there's a chance I could, you know, get to live another week if I'm doing good. Like, is that how baseball should be played?
Took it to a dark place.
All right.
Not in America, that's for sure.
Wyoming.
Yeah, no, Wyoming. That's Wyoming.
Different
for you.
Place, yeah.
We're gonna clean the palette a little bit before we close the show. I want to play a little Would You Rather.
Okay.
Okay. Christian.
Yes.
Would you rather watch a no-hitter or an absolute offensive massacre? Tons of home runs.
Would I rather watch a no-hitter?
Or a million home runs in a game?
Probably a million home runs in a game. I mean, I say that as a pitcher too. Like I love a no hitter, but it's stressful. And you know, most of the time you don't actually know that it's going to be a no hitter.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you're like, oh, it's the ninth inning. Is he going to do it? You know, is he going to pull it off? So there's nothing better than just, you know, an absolute slugfest.
That's the word I was looking for. A slugfest.
Yeah.
I cover baseball.
Which, like, who came up with that word, by the way? Slugfest. You know, you're like, yeah, you know what? That's a slugfest.
The slug community.
Yeah. Hey, we need to make that a word. Slugfest.
Interesting that as a pitcher, do you feel like, as a former pitcher, you watch a pitcher in a situation like that and you feel stressed for them?
100%. Like, I feel stressed, like almost even, this is kind of weird, but like almost as a parent, you know, like, I don't have kids. I don't have kids playing sports, but, I feel like I can put myself in that shoe, in those shoes, and maybe this is just from my mom's stories to me when she would watch me pitch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the stress of like, oh my gosh, I hope he's gonna pull it off. It's the ninth inning, three more outs. So yeah, maybe it is a little bit of that, you know, kind of stress that I put on the pitcher unintentionally.
Yeah. But. They are. It's interesting. You see it as stress. I asked Kyle Cooper, the photographer for the Rockies, this question on Friday, and he was like, oh, but like the tension that builds is just so exciting.
It is exciting.
And you're just like, no, that tension is called stress.
Yeah. And the stress can be exciting. I mean, I lived for those kind of things when I was pitching, but now that I'm no longer pitching and you're watching someone else go through it, yeah, it's intense. It's intense. And I think I can, as someone who's given up my fair share of home runs, I can respect a good long ball as much as anyone else.
Have you ever given up a home run to someone we've heard of?
No, probably not. Oh, I have not given up a home run to this person, but I it was
pretty close. It hit off the top of the wall. I pitched against Reese McGuire, who's not a common name, but he played for the, he was the catcher for the Blue Jays for a few years. Got drafted in the first round out of high school, and I was pitching against him as a freshman. First at bat against him, I struck him out, which was like the greatest moment of my life as a freshman on varsity. Just like I was, you know, on top of the world. Next at bat though, he hit one laser beam off the left center wall, like 360. I don't even think that thing, you know, it was still going up. It was close.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
It would have been cool.
Next question. Would you rather your team never wins a World Series, but makes it to the postseason every single season, or wins one World Series, but is under 500 for the rest of your life?
Oh, geez. This is the very classic Buffalo Bills question of like, you know, would you rather make it to the Super Bowl like 5 years in a row, but never win? I've got to say it, getting there, because the rest of your life is a long time. Mm-hmm. Winning one World Series, great, cool, great, amazing moment you'll have for the rest of your life. But then to never win it again, I mean, you're a sports fan forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a long time to be like, okay, well, I'm riding the high off, you know, 2020. Like, hope that's going to get me through 2080, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think being able to at least make it there, you got a lot of excitement every year. That seems a little more enjoyable to me.
So you pick making the postseason every year.
Every year, yeah. Because at least you get to like root for things, and I mean, in the moment, you probably wouldn't know that they're not going to win it, you know. So you yeah. still have this hope of like, is it going to be this year? I don't know.
You know what? Yeah. Yes, I see what you mean.
Okay.
All right, one more. Let's say they're making a movie about your life. Would you rather be played by Danny DeVito or Danny Trejo?
DeVito. I say that as someone who, you know, grew up watching tons of gangster movies, and you know, Danny DeVito he's the king. I can't go with anyone besides him.
That would be funny.
And the voice is just too good.
Kale, would you rather be played by Danny DeVito or Danny Trejo?
Oh, Danny DeVito, but mostly because of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, I love that's Always true. Sunny. That's
true. There's classics all around, scattered in that guy's resume.
Love it. All right, good game. Good job.
Thank you. Right. I didn't have to win or lose that one. That was just a participation.
It was just participation. Yeah, it's not like the last game where you...
Well, I got one. Right,
you got one.
Time.
And I was shocked.
I was shocked, too.
Absolutely shocked.
You talk about Patrick, you know, kind of ambushing you sometimes. That was an ambush on my end. And
yes.
I'm amazed that I got one.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
So I get ambushed all the time. So when I'm in a position to ambush people... Mm-hmm. I really take it. Stay toxic, my friends.
It's what us former TV people do. You know, everything was so structured in TV, and now you get into podcasting, and you're like, oh, here we go.
You get
Sky is the limit.
Yes.
Like, we're going off the rails here.
I don't have to keep it to a minute 30.
Yeah, no.
I also have to talk for
I don't have to
hour.
Keep it to an exact script. Like, I'm throwing in some of that good ambush stuff.
I love it. Yeah, we've got a fun week of shows coming up as we wrap it up here on this Monday edition of the DNVR Rockies podcast. Patrick is off today, tomorrow, Wednesday. He'll be back on Thursday. I will be off Thursday and Friday, so there's no Susie show aside from these shows. So just mark your calendars. All of the shows will be at 11 a.m. Consistency. Incredible. And make sure you are following the all-city coverage from Phoenix leading up to the Super Bowl, leading up to Super Bowl 57. The Broncos crew is down there, and they're on Radio Row. They're with the big shots, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, tons of coverage over there on Radio Row. And, you know, and it's cool to see the whole crew coming together from all the different markets.
I know. Yeah, it's cool that it's in, one of our newer markets, Phoenix. I'm excited to get down there later this week.
Yeah, and enjoy it. Have a
blast.
Bother
them while they're working.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's the plan.
Bring some baseball perspective into the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the Super Bowl to be over so the Eagles can be champions. And so we can finally start spring training.
Yeah.
That is my MO.
Yep. I'm just waiting for those tweets to see it the minute
Super
Bowl's done. Every Major League Baseball's team. Send out that tweet.
Yes.
It's baseball season.
It's all we wait for all year. Speaking of tweets, you can follow all of the DNVR Rockies coverage at DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. Christian, where can we follow you?
Twitter is probably the best, at CJJ Saez, S-A-E-Z, like Javier Baez, but with an S.
Mm-hmm.
And CJJ Saez on Twitter.
Cool. And Kale, where can we follow you?
I'm at Kale Sorbo, Kale with two L's, or on Instagram, I'm at Blue Eyes with a Backpack.
Perfect.
Love
you can
it.
Follow me at the Susie Hunter on all platforms. And listen, this has been so fun. But Christian, do you know what we say about me closing a show?
No, you'd think I'd learn by now, but no, I haven't.
You'd think I'd learn by now, too. I don't know how to do it, so we will just talk to you again Tuesday at 11 a.m.